Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks, and today's no exception. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. We've got a word here, diversification.
Mm.
And this is important when you look at your investment portfolio. So let's go to basics, shall we? How did you construct an investment portfolio today? And there are various levels of diversification that are recommended.
Mm.
So what's the first one, Bill?
Well, diversification is the name of the game. It always sounds like the first line of a record, but that, of course, was multiplication was the name of the game in the old record. But, you know, when it's quite strange how people often approach construction of an investment portfolio. They often have a solid view about where they want to go without really contemplating the mix of assets and all the various component parts that can be used to form part of the asset allocation. Now, you know, all of our listeners, I guess, will own at least one property, many owning more than one property, both in continental Europe and perhaps even back in the UK. And of course, that property, whether you live in it or not, has to be considered as part of your asset allocation. It is an asset, and your dividend perhaps is that you live in this beautiful home, but it has to form part of the total equation of how you allocate your wealth into various assets. And of course, looking at the increasing scale, if you like, based on risk tolerance, you could have your some of your assets in cash, although I actually think personally that that's a high risk asset these days, with interest rates down at 0.5-1% if you're lucky, and of course with inflation above that, you're actually losing spending power. And then you move on to things like government stock, again very low interest rates, historically low, sometimes a greater advantage in buying into corporate bonds, where bonds are issued by, you know, listed and unlisted companies, where you can get much better rates of income from them, and where there is the opportunity to get increased capital value as the markets view the credit worthiness of the underlying companies. And then, of course, you've got equity. Now, equity runs from being, you know, the top of the FTSE 100 list down to the bottom listed company in the whole of the Financial Times share index, and that's the smaller companies area of things. Then you've got somewhat more esoteric issues like hedge funds and things like that. And I think it really is a question of understanding from outset that it is vitally important. And I know the old adage of not having all your eggs in one basket is understood by everybody, but it's vitally important to have the right mix within your portfolio basket. And it may be that you need to be overweighted in some areas, you need to have more than the market weighting, if you like, and underweighted in other areas. And that will depend upon what your investment objectives are, whether you're looking for a purely income driven portfolio, or you're looking for a balance between income and capital appreciation to keep the whole thing in touch with inflation. It might be that you've got sufficient, I don't know, pension or other income, and you really just want to invest to make the best of your money by capital appreciation. And so, you know, how you bring together the correct assets within a proper balanced portfolio that's diversified for you personally is an important concept at the outset. And it probably is, without any shadow of a doubt, the most important stepping stone on your way to getting it right, you know, getting the asset mix right.
Yeah, and it's not the assets also, because you can diverse in companies, you can diverse in countries. So yep. So it's sort of almost a spider's web of possibilities here.
It's like a hub and spoke thing, Howard,
yeah,
really.
That's a better explanation, yes.
You know, if you consider your portfolio to be at the hub, and you look at all the spokes of the bicycle wheel, you can follow any one of those to a different asset class. So you might say, well, yes, of course we live in a property, but we like property, and it's solid, and I've got a decent income, and I could rent it out, but it will make capital over time. Well, in which case, you've got to work out where you want to buy property. Do you want to buy it in the residential market? Do you want to buy it in the industrial or the commercial market? There are various And where do you want to buy that property? Do you want to buy it in the hopefully ever-increasing area of central London, or do you want to buy it in development areas like the northeast of England, where prices may go up in percentage terms more than they do in London, even though your initial investment may be lower? There's lots of considerations. And it's the same with equity. You know, there's an understandable reason why most of the British people that come to meet with us at Blevins Franks have a portfolio largely denominated in UK sterling. They have, generally speaking, made very wise investments over a lengthy period of time. But you look at it and you think, well, how can it be possible that the UK stock market, which represents only less than 15% of the total equity in issue worldwide, and yet this client has got investments in the UK totaling nearly 90% of his assets? I mean, it's a massive overweighting. There's some balance there because lots of the companies that in the UK in which clients invest sensibly, especially in the FTSE 100 and in the next 250, if I'm honest, they do business overseas in foreign currencies, and therefore there is a sort of an overseas, an indirect overseas link with those. But, you know, there are specialist businesses, and the index in the United States is split up into large and small companies. The index in continental Europe is there for people to access the major companies and some of the smaller development companies in continental Europe, Southeast Asia, South Africa. You know, these are all places which have the potential to make money for you. What matters in the equity area is where and how much should you have in each area. Now, I know that a lot of the advisors within Blevins Franks will give you some guidance as to the market diversification worldwide, and then talk to you about where you feel as a client, because we like to work in partnership with our clients, where you feel instinctively you would like to have your money located. Now, if you invest in a UK stock which trades entirely within the UK market, you've got a wholly 100% unadulterated GBP sterling pounds investment. If you invest in a company which does half of its business in the United States of America and it trades in US dollars, you're investing half in the UK, all the equity is in the UK, but half of the returns on that investment will come from US dollar, and you have to ask yourself whether you want that currency risk in your portfolio. Alternatively, you might say, well, I think the dollar is going to be the king of currencies over the long term, and I'd like to have a chunk of my equity invested in the United States of America. But where do you want it? Large companies, small companies, medium-sized companies? There isn't an investment manager in my over 50 years of experience where that one manager knows everything about the large companies index of America and the smaller companies of America and those in the middle range as well. So, you know, it's important to get something from each area, and in each area managed by someone who's an expert in that specific, very narrow, niche focused area of opportunity, rather than a generalist. It's rather like if you want the best of treatment for a particular requirement, you go to see a specialist. You don't go to the GP. If you've got a serious health issue, you go to the person who specializes in the condition that you're suffering from. And in the investment world, when you're looking to get the best of your money, and you want to invest in any one particular area of these asset classes, you go to a specialist in a very small, narrow area, so that you've got perhaps lots of investments in a variety of different geographical territories looked after by a whole range of different expertise, but where that expertise is focused on the area of concern to you.
Moving on then to Spain, Bill, what's the best way to get a mix of these aspects in your portfolio?
Well, I think, first of all, in terms of how you proceed, I think you need to sit down and recognising that you probably do have a very worthwhile portfolio of existing assets, including property, including your pension fund, including a variety of investments that you've accumulated over life. One of the questions I often ask an individual who comes to us for the first time, and it's a bit esoteric, the question, but nonetheless, it's not rhetorical. It is to say to the client, look, you've built up a portfolio of assets over the last 35 or 40 years. You've got endowment policies. You've got whole life policies. You've got some unit trusts. You've got some offshore funds. You've got this, that, and the other. You've got a pension fund. Now, let's assume, show me what the worth of that is, and it's worth X. Now, if I told you that today you don't have any of those things, but what you do have is that value, you've got X as an amount of cash available, would you today at your retirement now buy the same things that you've already got in your portfolio? And generally speaking, the answer is no. I'd still keep some of them, still keep my pension fund, but I don't think I'd want all these other things. I did them at a point in time when they were right for me, and they're still right, they're not wrong, But is there something better I could do with my money, is the question. And the answer is, when you move from, if you like, your working life to the time in which you are going to be retired, recognizing that the tail of your life is approaching, it might be 25 or 30 years, a long tail, I hope, for most people. But you need to start planning from here to there, not taking things from the past and trying to, you know, wriggle them around to make them fit from here to there. You need things specifically designed to get you from here to there.
Yeah.
And that perhaps is the first step in getting the right things in your portfolio to make it work for the future.
What about using fund managers, Bill? Is it advisable to have a range of managers looking after your money?
Yeah, I think I sort of gave this away earlier, Howard. It's a very good question. I mean, at Blevins Franks, we give generic, highly independent and objective financial advice through a whole raft of different levels of expertise. But the one thing we don't do is manage the money directly. We give that to fund managers. And what we do is we use an advisory consultancy service through the Russell Company, who give us information about who they have vetted and validated as being the best managers in each individual category. It might be North American equities, big large companies, North American equities, small companies, UK large companies, UK medium-sized companies, UK smaller companies. It might be property. And we go to the recommended manager only to manage that bit of the portfolio in his own specialist area, so that you know that whilst you are, whilst Blevins Franks are reporting to you on how your investment portfolio has made you money and why it made you money and how it's going to continue to make you money, the answer is you will likely, if you've got your portfolio invested across the whole range of different management skills that we offer to our clients, you probably have as many as, I don't know, 30, 35, even 40 different fund managers. It wouldn't seem like that. It sounds complicated, but that's Blevins Franks' job to put it all together. The simple fact is the reason you've got that number of people is because no one is actually going to, we don't want to give you a general practitioner. No one investment fund manager is good at everything. So we look for people who are very, very good in their own particular specialist area and bolt all these people together in a portfolio system, which gives you the best investment managers producing the best above average returns over the longer term.
Yeah. And of course, a private investor couldn't do that.
No, it's just, it's impossible. You need volume. You know, when you consider the amount of money that Blevins Franks is responsible for, we can pass to investment fund managers over a wide spectrum of investments, you know, a billion or more. And you need that kind of volume to be able to attract the kind of number of fund managers that will be giving you specialist areas in each of their own niche markets.
Yeah. And what about currency? We often talk about this, Bill. Mm. Is it necessary to include a few different currencies in your portfolio? You think it is?
I think it's essential. You've relocated out of a directly sterling environment into a euro environment. You're now living in a currency exchange risk territory. You're going to have all your liabilities in the future in euros, perhaps with some overriding liabilities still remaining in sterling. And yet there are other currencies around the world that go up and go down, rather like equity markets. And again, I think diversification in currencies is the way to make money. If you, for example, invest in US equities, just as a simple example, at a time over the last few years when the market itself has gone up exponentially, you know, done incredible things in one of the longest bull runs in modern history, and at the same time the currency has got stronger, you don't only get the equity return. When you convert that return back to a sterling base or a euro base, you actually made a lot of money on the currency exchange as well. I know some people who have made, you know, 50% over the last 5 years out of equity investment in the United States, but they've doubled their return nearly because of the currency fluctuations that have taken place.
Do you think that many investors from Britain need to review their portfolios once they've arrived in Spain?
Yes, I do. Well, I would say that, wouldn't I? The simple truth is, of course, if you've moved to a new environment with new tax regime, with new investment opportunities that you previously probably weren't available to you in the UK, people arrive in Spain with all sorts of, ISA, you know, tax-favoured UK investments that when they arrive in Spain, understandably, they believe these are still tax-free, but of course they're not. They're tax-free in the UK. If you go to Spain, there are other opportunities offering much wider ranges of investment choices, and also into which you can put much larger sums of money that are tax favoured by the Spanish tax regime anyway. And so it's essential from both a tax planning and an investment planning and an inheritance tax planning point of view that you review your affairs given your new status in life. And if you haven't done that as an existing expatriate, or you're thinking of coming to Spain, even better to do it before you arrive. And if you go to the website at www.blevinsfranks and look up the office local to where you live, they will be delighted to meet with you, to go through with you in a methodical, friendly, and objective, impartial manner, assessing where you are now and trying to get you from where you are now to where you need to be or want to be in the most cost-efficient and effective manner.
Good advice as always. Thank you very much. We'll talk again at the same time next week in Spain.
It's a pleasure, Howard. Have a good week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.